Ambassador Robert Chairman, thank you for being with us. From what you know from both candidates and the way the campaign is going on, their styles, their momentum up so far, what can we expect from this first TV debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump?
Well, Ricardo, it's always a pleasure to be with you. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about what is a momentous event, not only for the United States, but for the world. I think that what we're going to see now in the campaign is really a focus on who do we want to be president. What the debates really do is get the American people's attention in terms of what are the qualities that we are seeking in our next president. So I think that for the candidates, what they have to do is demonstrate that they're presidential. This is not the time for passion. This is not the time for just empty rhetoric. This is the time to convince the American public that they have the qualifications to be the next leader of the United States and indeed a major player in the world.
They have to show up more like a head of state and less than like a candidate.
Yeah, I think that that's true. Primaries, as we've gone through in the United States, are all about passion. Now the issue is, who do we see articulating a vision of a country that we would want to live in? And we expect our president to be able to do that. It's a much less passionate decision and a much more calm and cool and rational decision. So we're going to see a pivot right now into that aspect, convincing voters that when they go into the booth, that either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton has the kind of vision that the American public is looking for.
In national polls, Mr. Trump has been shortening the gap to Clinton. Can this debate be somehow a turning point in the electoral race? Or on the other way, if Mrs. Clinton clearly wins the debate, although it's still the first out of three, but if she wins this first debate, it's done.
No, I don't think so. I think that in our history, we have shown a willingness to listen to the candidates throughout the debate process. We saw in 2012, President Obama had what was considered to be a very poor first debate performance. It provided momentum to Mitt Romney at the time. But then the second and third debates settled that out a little bit more. So I think that we can't expect anybody is going to deliver a knockout blow to the other in the first debate, unless there is just a huge mistake that's made. But I don't expect that. I expect the candidates to be prepared.
Mr. Trump complained about the dates. The two first debates will coincide with the American football matches and the viewers will be far less. Is this an important fact?
I think that picking our next president is primary on the American public's mind. I certainly know how European football gets the attention of the people here in Portugal. American football gets attention as well, but we can also focus on the things that are very important to us, and I think there'll be quite a bit of interest and attention given to the debate.
In just 2 months, Trump has broken the Republican Party record for small donations and raised more small donors than either Romney or McCain during their entire campaigns. Donald Trump wants to bring over $100 million by the end of the month. Can, in your opinion, Hillary Clinton's campaign follow this path and even surpass it, this challenge at a crucial moment of the campaign?
Well, I think that what's important to realize is that the money is important in a presidential campaign because it allows you to do the kinds of political things you need to do.
Like ads on TV and so on.
Yes, and build a field operation as example. So it's not about winning the money race for either candidate. It's about having enough resources to put into effect what your campaign plan is. So I expect both candidates to have the necessary money to put forth their message and to effectuate their campaign. And then the one thing we know is on November 9th, the day after the election, everybody will evaluate how effective that turns out to be.
New York Times has said this Friday that civil rights activists and national security veterans fear Donald Trump's policies could have the effect of signaling out minorities for scrutiny. Can this kind of approach turn into a more widespread public opinion concern?
Well, I think that certainly Donald Trump's approach right now in the campaign has been, you know, to focus on security issues, to focus on obviously building a wall between the United States and Mexico, to limiting immigration to the United States, and also to ejecting illegal immigrants from the United States. You know, the question that's going to come up is whether that is something that the American people feel is necessary for their protection. And if so, they will be supporting Donald Trump. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton has taken another approach on that, certainly not as dramatic an approach. And so we have a battle of the ideologies on both of those fronts. I expect that to be a significant aspect of the debates that we will be seeing, and both candidates will have a chance to put forth their ideas for evaluation by the American people.
Speaking about battles, Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania, will these be the most important battlegrounds?
Well, I think that historically what we know of is that we have a divided country. Our politics has been divided for a long time. We remember the whole issue in the 2000 campaign of the whole campaign, the whole election coming down to how Florida was decided. So we have states that have traditionally been Democratic states. We have states that have been traditionally Republican states. And there are about 8 to 10 states called swing states. They include New Hampshire, they include Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, North Carolina, Virginia, New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, Iowa. I don't know how many I named, but that's pretty close to the amount. So it's important for your listeners to understand that in the United States, we do not elect a president based on popular vote across the country. That was evident in 2000 when Al Gore won 500,000 more popular votes, but George Bush was elected president, because we give the states a certain weighted amount of votes. So the number is 270. Whoever gets to 270, what we call electoral votes, is elected president, and therefore the swing states, how they vote, how these 10 states vote, will be the determiner of who the next president will be.
CNN has asked some people to say what they would ask to the candidates, and since we are approaching the first TV debate, I'm picking up the question made by Ava DuVernay, the director and screenwriter. She's the director of the film Selma and the upcoming 13th, a documentary about the U.S. prison system. She asks the candidates what are their thoughts on the fact that America, the land of the free, holds the record for the country with the most citizens currently imprisoned, and what are the concrete plans, if any, from the candidates on changing that startling statistic through their presidency. Mr. Ambassador, is this an important social problem in the U.S.? What should the new president do about this?
I think it is not a predominant issue on voters' minds when it comes to voting for president. We tend to think of the much larger issue. We think of issues like the economy. We think of security, world security, the United States' place in the world. I think we all know that we have an overcrowded prison system. Leaders on both sides, Republican and Democratic leaders, have talked about coming together for criminal justice reform that takes a different look at how we are dealing with people that come through that system. But I don't think this is a predominant issue in this campaign.
Relations with Russia and there have been some approaches or some polite statements, let's say, from Mr. Trump about Vladimir Putin. This Thursday, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright and former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell spoke about allegedly Donald Trump profiting from hundreds of millions of dollars from Russian interests. The Democrats are demanding that Donald Trump discloses his foreign assets that the Democrats say could endanger America's national security. This is an issue?
It's absolutely an issue. And how it comes out, we'll have to see. I expect, again, this is going to be an issue that's going to be brought up during the course of the debates. How the issue gets framed and how the issue gets answered, I think, is going to be part of the what voters are going to be looking at. Obviously, there's concern in the United States of an increasingly activist Russia, the fact that Russia has taken the action it has in Ukraine, that has destabilized the region, that has caused anxiety in the Baltic states and the like, is a destabilizing factor in the world. So when I said before that national security issues are on the minds of American voters, it's not just terrorism. It is the whole world situation and whether the United States will be more or less secure depending on who is elected president. So issues involving Russia, issues involving terrorism, are issues for both candidates to address.
Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, in an interview with the Associated Press this week, and when questioned about the U.S. election and what will differ towards Syria and towards him personally with the Clinton or Trump administration, he said that one thing is what American politicians say in campaign and a different thing is when it comes to reality, and he even mentioned that regarding the current situation, U.S. government takes different stands and changes positions from morning to the evening. Could you comment on this?
I think Bashar al-Assad is the last person that should be giving advice on how Americans deal with their democracy, given the way he has engaged in his rule in Syria. I think that certainly Syria is a major problem. I think to expect that the candidates for president are just going to change positions once they get elected is just plain wrong and naive. So I wouldn't listen to Assad, given his track record, for any kind of advice on American political campaigns.
At the moment of the Syrian conflict, and since we are going to have a new U.S. president, do you expect any kind of shift on the American policy towards the Syrian conflict?
Well, again, we're going to have to see what the candidates say about it, and then what they do. I certainly know that this is a significant foreign policy issue. Both candidates know it's a significant foreign policy issue, and so once they take office, once they have a chance to assess the situation, not from the outside, but sitting behind the desk in the Oval Office, that can shape their view as to what American policy should be. So I would expect either candidate to take a fresh look at the situation and then make their own assessment in terms of the direction.
Are you concerned that both candidates don't care about the TTIP that you were so much supportive of? And now some European leaders are saying that the TTIP is dead.
Well, I think that certainly TTIP will be a good thing for the United States and for Europe. It is still a priority of President Obama's, and it is still a priority of us at the American Embassy. I think one of the things I am concerned about is there seems to be a lack of urgency when I talk to some of the European partners on the issue of TTIP, thinking that even if Hillary Clinton wins, for instance, that there will just be a continuation of the negotiations. I think that's a misreading of the political situation. President Obama is adamantly trying to get this deal concluded. I think the timing is right to get it done while he is still president, because I don't think anybody can predict what the attitude will be of a future president in terms of a commitment to TTIP.
Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much.
Thank you, as always, Ricardo.